Congress gives and it also takes away, or lets things get away. On September 30th, it let expire a protest avenue for task orders larger than $10 million. Before then, contractors could have taken these protests to the GAO, just like regular contract awards. So what happens next? For some insight, we turn to Joseph Petrillo, procurement attorney with Petrillo & Powell. And Joe, this one seems to be almost an oversight on the part of Congress, or did they really not like the idea of task order protests going to the GAO?
Well, that depends on which House of Congress you're talking about. The House has tried to reinstate this protest authority, and the Senate has let it die. So some of the folks there are on top of it, and others, well, they're not so interested. It's interesting how we got here, though. I mean, it started back in 94 with the Streamlining Act, the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, and that strengthened the rules for task and delivery order contracts. And one of the things it did was it exempted those orders from protest and with certain very limited circumstances. Basically, you'd have to show that the order was outside the scope of the contract and kind of a work or time or money, and that of course was hard to do in most instances, wasn't true, but that left the government free to award these task orders without having to worry about protests. So the government had a loophole to the normal protest process in that statute. Congress then got concerned about some of the activities going on under task and delivery order contracts. And it provided a loophole to the loophole. It said that task and delivery orders over $10 million could be protested to the Government Accountability Office only, but they could be protested. So that provided a loophole to the loophole. And then more recently, on September 30th, the authority to bring those protests sunset, but only for the civilian agencies. It continues to be possible to bring $10 million task or delivery order protests to GAO if the procurement is by DOD, NASA, or the Coast Guard. So we now have a loophole to the loophole to the loophole.
So is there any avenue for civilian agencies to protest task orders at all?
Not right now. Just the only protest that's allowable is for these very limited scope issues. And you won't be able to protest them either to GAO or to the court.
So that would seem to be it then. Although, isn't it fair to say that a task order, maybe it's not technically a contract because it's awarded under something pre-negotiated, but really it is a contract.
Well, it is defined in the FAR as a contract, but you know there is this specific statutory provision that limits the ability to bring a protest and that's been held to apply both to GAO and courts. So that's the end of the story, except in very limited circumstances. If anything's going to change here, it's going to have to be because Congress does it.
The GAO might be happy because it limits their workload a little bit.
I won't speak for the GAO. I guess they don't want to be overworked, but they certainly want to have something to do. So there might be mixed feelings about that.
So it could come back, I guess, if maybe after the new year, after the new Congress, after the new administration, somebody could re-look at this. I mean, what is the Senate's objection? I guess we don't really know
the whole idea.
The
objection is the objection one has to all protest, which is that they slow down the procurement process, they make it more complicated. And the counterargument is that they're an important part of oversight and keeping, maintaining the trust of the public in the procurement process and encouraging offerors to submit offers, knowing that the process is going to be fair and unbiased. So, in that kind of instance, you've got the conflicting policy views. Congress sort of experimented with exempting the orders under task and delivery order contracts for a period of time, but then it decided that at least above a certain dollar level, it wanted to reinstitute the protests. Now let's see what they think about the civilian agency protests. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have different rules for civilian agency protests and military protests.
Well, no idea, no concept in the federal government ever dies. They just wax and wane. So we could see this one rise again. We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And I wanted to also ask you about a case of the construction contractor who had appeals from the denial of 7 claims. This is a busy outfit.
Yeah, although I got to say, if you're looking for claims, construction contracts are the place to go. They seem to, they're on fixed price, things change, and they seem to generate lots of claims. In this instance, we've got a situation where the contractor ran up against 2 different time limits for appealing a final decision by a contracting officer. A claim has to be submitted to the contracting officer, and then that contracting officer is obliged to issue a final decision on it within a certain period of time, or else the contractor can appeal the failure to do so. In any event, they had 7 appeals, and 6 of them fell within the time limit for filing an appeal to the Civilian Board of Contract Appeals, which is 90 days from receipt of the contracting officer's final decision. One of them, however, was outside that 90-day window. Now, you also have a year to bring an appeal to the Court of Federal Claims if the contractor chooses to go in that direction, and obviously after 90 days, that's the only route that's open. So the contractor brought 6 of the appeals to the board, 1 to the court. It now has to litigate the appeals in 2 different forums, which isn't particularly efficient, obviously. So they asked the court to transfer the appeals to the board.
Another one of these cases of 2 different sets of rules for different circumstances.
Exactly. It's been this way forever. Ever since the Contract Disputes Act, there's always been 2 different sets of time limits for filing these appeals. And we have a similar situation with regard to bid protests. But what we've got here is a situation where the contractor tried to consolidate them at the board, asked the court to send the case to the board, and the court did so. The government didn't object, and so the case got transferred. When it got to the board, the government said, well, we want this 7th appeal dismissed because it's outside the 90-day time limit. And the board refused to dismiss the appeal. It said that the court had broad discretion over transferring actions to agency boards. Government never objected. And the appeal was timely filed at the court. So the appeal was timely under those rules. So in this instance, there's kind of a loophole to that 90-day requirement in a situation where you file at the court and then can later on get the case transferred down to the Board of Contract Appeals.
All right, so sharp contracting departments and sharp procurement attorneys will keep that little tidbit right on their desk.
Absolutely.
Procurement attorney Joe Petrillo is with the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for that insight.
You're welcome, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.